Hello there, I'm Brandon Julian, the host of the Update Podcast. And if you're listening to this, you should be familiar with what I'm about to say by now, but if you're new, allow me to explain. If you're hearing this, you should be a bit familiar with the Update's annual routine. Every once in a while, we go on a little bit of a hiatus during the summer, and I personally start growing facial hair. But, of course, I'm not going to have this for very long, you know, because of my wife. And I'm looking forward to starting new episodes of the Update very soon. In the meantime, however, we have some very special gifts for all of you. We've been doing this show long enough to, you know, get to know each other pretty well, but not a lot of people have probably heard our first episodes from way back in 2017. Well, we've been rectifying that by going into our archives and playing every single episode of the Update from year number one. And if you missed them, don't worry, we're going to be recycling them again very soon. Year number four of the Update was a year that really does not need any explanation. But if in case you've had your head under a rock and were unaware of what's been going on, year number four was a year that was dominated by COVID and the pandemic. Literally, we went from being in the WKRB studios to being on the road within a snap of your fingers and watching everything shut down around us. It was very scary at the start, but we persevered, and we continued to find a way to move forward. You see, journalists, they don't fade away. They just keep coming back for more. So, enjoy year number four of the Update. Excuse me. And we'll be back with new episodes very soon. So, in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news will be good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Please be well. And I'll see you with new episodes of the Update soon enough down the road.
This is the Update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday afternoon to you. Brandon Julian here, of course, also the Update on the road from the normally very busy Oculus near One World Trade Center on a very rainy and dreary Monday. There's still a lot of news to get to, including the latest coronavirus developments. There are now over 20,000 cases in New York State, but we're going to begin with something new that's happening in the state of New York. With schools shut down, of course, for the coronavirus outbreak, the districts and educators are now launching a massive unplanned test of virtual teaching, or distant learning, as it's called. Virtual schools, sometimes known by distance learning or other terms, though, has existed for decades. But it's far from ubiquitous in U.S. schools, of course, because of digital inequities among students and the concerns about implications for teachers and other factors. Online education, of course, begins today here in New York, the nation's biggest school district. Teachers there have been coming up with digital versions of everything from high school English discussions to kindergarten gym class. The mayor of this city, Bill de Blasio, said that he spoke with President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence about the city's urgent need for medical supplies to curb the spread of the coronavirus. De Blasio said today on CNN that he wants to see, quote, material support from the federal government. The mayor has been for days calling on the federal government to help provide ventilators to treat patients that have been infected with the virus, as well as supplies like masks to protect healthcare workers. And the board that's overseeing New York City's jail system is now urging officials to start releasing vulnerable populations and those being held on low-level offenses. As the coronavirus outbreak hit the notorious Rikers Island jail complex and also nearby jails, infecting at least 38 people. Another inmate, meanwhile, became the first in the country to test positive at a federal jail, and also Harvey Weinstein got infected yesterday.
Board of Correction interim chairwoman Jacqueline Sherman wrote in a letter to New York's criminal justice leaders over the weekend, quote, "Fewer people in the jails will save lives and minimize transmission among people in custody for less staff. Failure to drastically reduce the jail population threatens to overwhelm the city jail's healthcare system as well as its basic operations." Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Monday, we're going to talk sports and how the Olympics are probably going to happen, but not as planned. And then we will talk the latest national news, including how the coronavirus is now changing the way people are grieving for the dead, when we return in just 90 seconds.
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Update on this Monday inside the Oculus in the World Trade Center. Let's talk some sports this Monday. Overseas in Tokyo, the Olympics are probably going to happen, but almost for surely they'll happen next year rather than in 4 months as has been planned. And that seems clear after the International Olympic Committee said that it was considering a postponement. Many Olympic nations like Canada and Australia are adding the pressure by making it clear that they won't go if the games are staged this year. IOC President Thomas Bach sent a letter to athletes explaining the decision and why it might take so long while also acknowledging the extended timeline might not be popular. He said a final decision was likely to come in 4 weeks. And there are two people with direct knowledge of this contract that say that the Jets and cornerback Pierre Desir have agreed to terms on a deal. One of the people is telling the Associated Press that the contract of the former Indianapolis Colts standout is for 1 year. The people spoke to the AP on the condition of anonymity yesterday because teams can't announce deals until they're officially signed. The Athletic first reported the Jets' agreement with Desir, who was released by the Colts on Saturday. The 29-year-old defensive back spent the past three seasons with Indianapolis. Let's talk some national news now this Monday. In Washington, the Trump administration officials and congressional leaders are now starting to struggle to complete a nearly $2 trillion economic rescue package as the crisis is continuing to deepen. President Trump, meanwhile, is suggesting that he's having qualms about extending the current 15-day suggested shutdown. The Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, is saying that, quote, things are going to get worse before they get better. Yet hours earlier, Trump suggested in a tweet that the remedies may be more harmful than the outbreak. And that's contradicting the advice of several medical experts across the U.S. Yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence said that the country should expect new federal guidance, quote, which will make it possible for people that have been exposed to return to work more quickly by wearing masks. In the early morning trading on Wall Street, they were wobbling mostly lower after, of course, the bill to provide emergency help to the economy stalled in Congress. U.S. stock futures and European markets, they got a temporary boost early today after the Federal Reserve announced its most aggressive action yet to protect the economy from the extensive damage being caused by the coronavirus. The Fed said it would buy as much government debt as it deems necessary and will also begin lending to businesses and local governments. But the enthusiasm quickly dissipated as bond prices rose, sending the yields lower. The Asian markets ended broadly lower, except over in Japan. Back in Washington, Dr. Anthony Fauci now says that he can't jump in front of the microphone to stop President Trump from speaking at the daily White House briefings on the outbreak. Fauci told Science Magazine in an interview yesterday that Trump listens even though they disagree on some things. One of the things they disagree on is Trump's complaint that China should have told the world earlier about the virus. Fauci says he told, quote, the appropriate people after Trump made the comment that it, quote, didn't comfort. But Fauci says if Trump repeats the comment, he can't, quote, just jump in front of the microphone and push him down. Meanwhile, down in Fort Lauderdale in Florida, people around the country, of course, who are self-isolating or maintaining social distance during the coronavirus outbreak, are having to think outside the gym when it comes to their fitness routines. Many are turning to online classes or getting outside to exercise. Both brick-and-mortar fitness centers and cyberspace-based workout companies are now stepping up the number of online classes they teach and are offering some of them free of charge. A good diet and exercise is crucial for keeping the immune system strong against COVID-19. Many workout junkies say that their creative sweat sessions are helping them stay calm and avoid going stir crazy. In Washington again, in its latest, boldest effort to protect the U.S. economy from the coronavirus, we've been mentioning this earlier, the Federal Reserve says that it will buy as much government debt as it deems necessary, and will also begin lending to small and large businesses and local governments to help them weather the crisis. The Fed's announcement removes any dollar limits from its plans to support the flow of credit through an economy that's been ravaged by the outbreak. The central bank's all-out effort has now gone beyond even the extraordinary drive it made to rescue the economy from the 2008 financial crisis. The Fed said in a statement, quote, the coronavirus pandemic is causing tremendous hardship across the United States and around the world. We heard earlier from Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. She's saying that her husband is now tested positive for the virus. The former presidential candidate said that her husband, John Besser, began feeling sick when she was in Minnesota and he was in Washington. She said that he immediately quarantined himself. He now has pneumonia and is on oxygen, but not a ventilator. Klobuchar said that her doctor had advised her to not get a test. And over in Chicago, the coronavirus, of course, it's upended nearly every element of public life, but it's also now dramatically changed the way that people are grieving for the dead. Ministers have closed their doors to funerals, and the fear of quarantine has prevented families from flying in to pay their last respects. Cemeteries have drastically altered what they do out of fear that some mourners who don't know they're infected with coronavirus might infect others. And elderly people who have lost spouses can't hug or so much be as in the same room with their children and grandchildren at the exact time that they need them most. There is other national news to talk about, and we will address those when we return in just 60 seconds.
1 in 3 adults in America have prediabetes, but most don't know it. To let people know it can be reversed before it becomes type 2 diabetes, professional basketball player Julius Randle is doing everything in reverse.
I'm only dunking with reverse windmills. I drove the whole way to practice in reverse. I don't recommend it. This move's called the reverse shuffle. I do recommend it. And it took me months to learn how to speak in reverse, like this. Here's 10 almost for diabetes type 2 with living Ben has mom my. In other words, my mom has been living with type 2 diabetes for almost 10 years. So together, we want to say to the 84 million Americans at risk, exercise and healthy eating can help reverse prediabetes. Start by taking a simple one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bet he can't say that in reverse.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Monday. On the West Coast in San Francisco, Pacific Gas and Electric has now agreed to plead guilty to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the 2018 Northern California wildfire that killed 84 people and decimated three towns. The utility said in a statement today that it will also admit to a single count of unlawfully starting a fire. Under a plea agreement with the Butt County District Attorney's Office, PG&E will also pay the maximum fine of around $4 million. The company will also fund efforts to restore access to water for the next 5 years for residents that have been impacted by the loss of a canal that was destroyed by the fire. And finally, here in New York, Woody Allen's memoir has now been released with a new publisher. Apropos of Nothing was dropped last month after widespread criticism. But it came out today by Arcade Publishing with little advance notice and when much of the world is otherwise preoccupied with the coronavirus. Apropos of Nothing begins in the wry tone of such literary heroes such as Dady Salinger and George S. Kaufman. But it darkens and becomes defensive as he recalls his relationship with Mia Farrow and the allegations that he abused daughter Dylan Farrow. For many, those allegations, which he denies, have defined his public image in recent years. Her thought for today is from Elizabeth Taylor, born in 1932 and died in 2011. Her thought for today is, when people say she's got everything, I've got one answer. I haven't had tomorrow. I'll let you guys ponder on that. If we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is for this Monday. I'm Brandon Julian. See you back here tomorrow.